each one of you. I have a few thoughts that I want to share this morning, and I feel like they're a little bit incomplete, and I feel like they may be not quite be balanced. If you want to find fault with them, you probably can, but that's okay because we're just looking at one aspect here. And sometimes we can't quite make things as inclusive as we would like to be when we share. But if you would turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. And my text is in verse 6, but I want to just start in verse 1 of Malachi chapter 3, just to get some context for this, for my text in verse 6. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And that text has been going through my mind recently. I am the Lord, I change not. And also in Hebrews 13, there's the verse, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything that we know in life is changing. We change. The way we feel changes. The way we see things changes. But God, the fact that God does not change is based on the fact that God is eternal. And God always has been, always will be, and he knows, he is not surprised by what will happen tomorrow, or he is not surprised by the thing that happened yesterday. He knew those things, he ordered those things, therefore he does not need to change. And then God gave us this word, and this word that he gave us does not change. And who God is, the attributes of God, do not change. And that's where we live in a society and a culture where everything is changeable, especially in the last few years. I've just been amazed at how there is almost nothing that is definite in our culture. And I'm thankful that I don't feel like we're there as a church. I feel like we have a pretty firm grasp on this. But I think where my burden comes from is that we are only a few decisions away from being there as individuals and as a people. And when you look at how fast it's changed, they've had these ideas in higher education for many years, and it was always a push to get it into the elementary levels, elementary school levels, and all of a sudden, in a few years' time, all of a sudden it's right there. And it's concerning to me because it just shows that how soon we can change, how soon everything that we believe we stand for and everything that we do stand for changes. And I guess my burden is I want us to be encouraged, all of us together and as young people, that it's okay. It's okay to stand and to say, no, this is what God says. And I think most of us have probably seen the signs on 27 advertising the Back 40 Junction in Decatur. And it's the one says, the way it was is the way it is. And it's okay for us as people to stand up and say, the way it was is the way it is. The things that God gave us, and we could go into all those. We could talk about so many different things that are being attacked in our society that God has made very clear in His Word. And I'm not going to do that. I simply want to lift it up and say that we have God, we have this, and it's okay to stand on that. And it's my wife and I were discussing a news article earlier, well, last week, and a fellow was on a talk show, and he was promoting the idea of stopping, basically that our population's gotten too big. We need to stop having, you know, people need to stop having children. We need to take care of the people that we have, but just put a pause on it. And we're talking about it, and immediately my mind went, well, they tried that. We have China tried it, Japan tried it, and now they have a mess. They have a terrible mess that they're trying to fix. But then I said, no, wait a minute. We don't even have to go there. We can go back to God's Word. God gave us direction on that, and that's what I want to encourage us, because we can. We have lots of examples in history for just about everything. The thing is, the things that we're facing today are not new. All you have to do is go back far enough and you'll find them. And so we can go there and see examples of how it all works out, but we can go back to God's Word, and the world around us may say, well, we don't care what God says. We don't believe that. But that doesn't change the fact that God said it. And it's important that we believe it. What they do with it is up to them. But what we do with it is up to us. And it's that's our responsibility. We can't weigh our culture and our society against God. And I know this, it may be, the analogy may not be, I mean, technically you could, but if we think of a scale, most of us probably know the scale that looks like kind of like this, and then you have a balance beam here, and that's pretty crude. But we tend to want to put God's Word over here and our culture and what our culture is saying over here, and we can do that. We can do that, and we know that what God says will win. But I want to propose to us that the scale that we use is God's Word, and we put what the culture and our society is saying here and whatever else we're weighing against here, and we make this scale God's Word. We're not weighing the two against each other, but we're saying that God's what God said and God's law is the standard. And we weigh everything else against that. I'll erase this so you don't have to look at it anymore. It's okay for us to say, I know that this is true. And it's okay for us to be different. And the one question that I have thought about many times is, How many people have to be saying something to make it true? What if we were the only one in a group of friends? And the tendency is to feel like, well, I'm the only one that feels this way, therefore I must be wrong. And sometimes you need to be careful there, but it doesn't matter if everyone else is saying this. If we are doing what God said, it's okay if we're the only one saying it. And that's, I know I would have liked to go into a lot of the different things that we're being faced with, but I don't feel like I can for the sake of time, and I can't do them justice. So like I said, my goal is to simply encourage us. We know what those things are, I think, but to simply encourage us that even though it's being attacked, it doesn't mean that it's wrong, and that we can stand on that. Because God does not change. The thing that God put in place in the beginning, the thing that God said through His Word, those will always be the same, and we can always go back to them. Sometimes application may change some of those things, but it's still the same. And I don't know what that does for you, but we may look like a stick in the mud in our society, but I'd rather be a stick in the mud that has something to stand on, and to just a confidence that comes from that, knowing that this is God's way, and if it's God's way, even if it's scoffed at, even if it's frowned upon. And we don't face persecution in our country for doing what we believe God wants us to do, but there are people that face tremendous persecution for doing what God asked them to do. But if you, the fact that God asked us to do this, and it's a good way, even if it brings pain, it's still a good way. And it brings tremendous confidence. In Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee.' And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hopes set before us." And we could go on there. Actually, I'll just read verse 19. "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil." And if you remember the verse in Malachi, there at the end of the verse it said, I'll just go back and read that so I don't misquote it. But "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." It is that unchanging. There's the aspect of that where we can stand confident in the truth and against deception. But there's also that same fact that God cannot lie is so much more, because not only is our world changing, but our feelings and our circumstances change all the time. And it's that same knowing, that same confidence that God does not change. The thing that God promised to us is still true today. And so on a more of a personal level, I want to lift that up as well, that we have that assurance, we have that steadfastness that we can have because God has given us promise and He will not lie. In John chapter 5, I want to just look at one of those. And this is one that's that I really appreciate because it was really precious to me at a time in life when I was really struggling. I don't have the reference written down. And I can't quote. There's a one in Hebrews that says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And that is, but the one that I'm trying to think is, that "They that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out." And that is one of those things that's a promise that God has given us that we can be sure of, and that if we come to Him, He won't cast us out. And so I want to lift that up as well on more of a personal level because our society changes, but we change, our circumstances, our feelings change as well. And we can have that same confidence, that same hope that even though our life may be shaking and things may be going on, that we have that same promise pertaining to us on a very personal level, that God does not change, and if we lean on Him, even though everything else is shaking, we have that firm confidence that we can have. And so that's all I have. I hope it can be an encouragement and just build us up, because I think it's really important. And I speak for myself as a younger person with less experience, to be intimidated and to feel like, well, maybe I don't see things quite right. But to know that the things we see here and the things that we know to be true about God are true no matter what, and they will always be. Now, that's all I have. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank You that You are here with us. We thank You that no matter what comes our way, no matter how loud the world is clamoring in our ear, that You are still the same. We have this rock. We have this confidence. Thank You, Father, for being such a good Father to us. Thank You that You love us, that You care for us. Thank You, Father, that we can have peace, and that in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of change, that there's that rock that we can rest upon and have peace. Thank You, Father. I pray You'd bless each brother as they come. Bless the rest of this service. We love You, Father, and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.